We are talking about the plagues that hit all men. Christ was the perfect type in every possible way because he was born in the promise. And then after the Pharaoh was going to kill all the children, Herod, Joseph in a dream he was told to go to Egypt. So they lived in Egypt until Herod died. And in the context, the same mystery. Christ, the real you, is always born in the promise. The promise is only a type of eternity, the New Jerusalem. And that is always you. I mean, it's in you. And then just as Israel came in Israel as the type, and then they a little famine came and they all went down to Egypt to survive, then they had accepted the value systems of Egypt. And that was intolerable for God. And so he didn't send the plagues to destroy Egypt. It really had nothing to do with Egypt. Egypt was only the effect. And all the plagues hit, the 10 plagues, and it allowed or chased Pharaoh. Pharaoh allowed, finally, the real Israel to leave. Now, Pharaoh's a type of the Antichrist, but he's also a type of you. And at some point, your mind has to allow his person, his people, his Christ to leave. And that's the reason the plagues hit. And everything goes wrong in your life. We've studied four of the plagues. And the first plague was the river of life was turned into blood. And you lost your worth. The second plague is the frogs. The frogs were the goddess of Heka, success. And so the idea of your whole ideas of success up here have to be destroyed. What was the third plague? Third plague is lice. And the lice, God's rod hit the dirt, hit the dust. And the lice became an irritant. In other words, your own flesh becomes an irritant to you. The fourth plague is the swarm of flies. And actually, it's not just flies. It says in the Hebrew, it's just a swarm of insects, including flies. And what's interesting is that its purpose is to defile your ideas of religion. But one of the most important things that I don't think I've ever talked about before is one of the swarm was this beetle. And I can't pronounce the name. I got it written down. Oh, it's the Clapeyra scarab beetle. And it was the symbol of eternal life for Egypt. And the idea was, is this beetle, which only went in the tombs to give the people like the symbol of eternal life. And you've seen, if you've ever watched any Egyptology, you've seen this stupid little beetle everywhere. Well, it's their symbol of eternal life. And because the beetle was everywhere, then it was this tell, the significant tell that the entire Egypt or world was a tomb. And so it defiled your prayers. It defiled everything that you thought was right and good about the world. And then next came the plague of flies. I said that, right? Did I say that? Swarm of flies. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not doing very well this morning. Well, let's go see the fifth plague. Go to Exodus 8. Exodus 8. Now, these plagues aren't, they're not optional. You don't have a choice of whether or not these plagues are going to hit you or not. It's to drive you, your mind, Pharaoh, to the point where you recognize that you're dead. And the real life, the purpose that you were born, his people, his person, Christ in you, the hope of glory, will become apparent, but will be revealed. And you are just simply a vessel. And you finally understand that you've just made up yourself. You've invented yourself. And you really don't know who you are. Does everybody understand? Oh, no, I know who I am. I hear somebody saying in their minds. This next one is fascinating. Oh, I said go to eat. I'm having a problem here. Did I say go to Exodus 8? In verse 8, excuse me, we're now in Exodus 9. Exodus 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord, well anyway, what is this? What did all of the ancient societies, but especially Egypt, worshipped the gods that were represented by the signs of the zodiac? And so when Abraham was in Babylon, when he was born, he was the heir apparent. He was the son of an idol maker, but it doesn't mean he was the son of the little guy that carved idols. He was the son of the high priest. And Nimrod, or what's his name? Was it Nimrod? Nimrod didn't have a son. And so according to Babylonian law, Abraham was going to be the next leader, king of the world. Same as Moses. But Abraham couldn't, he watched, he looked, he thought. And again, the age that you were in is defined as the first constellation that appears on the night of the spring equinox. And all ancient societies had this. So, I'm confused now because I'm not thinking well. But Abraham was in the sign that preceded Taurus, which was Aries, right?
Or the other way around.
No. Anyway, as Abraham watched the stars and he was taught in all these things, he saw that on this next year, the first sign that appeared was no longer the one that everybody was worshiping. It now was the bull, Taurus, or whatever. You don't quote me in this because I may have gotten him confused. And so he decided he could not worship anything that was time dependent. So, I'm sorry, I'm maybe rambling, but if you haven't heard this, it's important. A day in America is 24 hours. If you go up to the top of the North Pole, a day is 6 months. But the universal day is defined by the length of time it takes the true north to go through all of this series of stars. And the length of it, and it takes 25,000 years to go through, or 24,000 plus, to go through so that the universal day returns to the place it started. So the age, whether it's the age of Taurus or the age of Aries or whatever it is, that age is approximately 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, the kingdom of Babylon had been worshiping this god because it was the first sign that appeared on the spring equinox. And then it wasn't there. So Abraham said, I can't worship that. Now the same thing is being repeated in Moses. The whole idea now is that the gods of Egypt were now defined by this next animal. And so all of the plagues of the murrain came against primarily the animals, so that they could see that God wasn't ticked off at the animals, but he had to show that those animals, that those gods that Egypt, that Israel has accepted, were flawed. So now,
excuse me, last night in our Bible study we were talking about the gods of Egypt and all the different gods, and how there was one for this and one for that. It's just this whole pantheon of gods, and it reminded me of this story of him destroying all the idols and putting the axe handle in the hands of the chief idol. In this case, it was to him that all the gods had to be destroyed, and now it's to the people of Israel. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Again.
It's the same thing. Cool. It's the same thing. All right, so this fifth plague was a fatal pestilence on cattle, perhaps caused by the flies. It was on the bull, the cow, the calf, Apis, that represented Apis and Ammon. All of the idols. And now this is why when Israel was released after the Passover and they went out into the wilderness and Moses was gone too long, what did they do? They built a golden calf. And it says they built an idol, the golden calf, to the God who delivered them out of Egypt. So they thought they were building it to the right God, but it was the God that had just been destroyed. It's just like you do. If something happens in you and it doesn't happen when you want it, what do? You lean on your own arm of understanding. You go back to trying to rely on you, figuring some crap out. And it works for a while, but I promise you, the plague will hit you. And all of that idol that you've just now invented, that value system, that purpose, will again be destroyed, just as they are in all of the other idols. Now then, when Christ came, he came at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Is that right?
Pisces,
I mean. Excuse me. I'm hurting so bad I can't think. But now we are in the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And these ages are about 2,000 years each. So now we have another shift, cosmically, from God's standpoint, to show that nothing has value except Him. No value system, no opinion, no idea has any value. And if you, in the ancient understanding of the signs of the zodiac, the age of Aquarius, well, good God, the age of Aquarius, this is my 47th cousin removed, whatever that means. Hi, Terry. The age of Aquarius was the age of spirit. It was, in fact, the ancient Babylonians thought when they reached the age of Aquarius, it was the end of the world, because now the age of Aquarius was spirit. So we're on the dawning of the age of Aquarius. All right. So anyway, that's the purpose that the plague came on the cattle. It's to destroy more of the gods. But now the interesting one. The next plague is boils. There was, in rare occasions throughout the history of Egypt, when everything went wrong, they made human sacrifices to this god of the, what's his name?
Typhon.
They made human sacrifices to this god. And so that's what Pharaoh has done now on the palace on the edge of the Nile. He has made a human sacrifice to try and assuage his god so that all these plagues will go away. And what happened? And verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace. Now the furnace was the actual furnace in which the human sacrifice had just been made. Now listen to what he says. And now everybody in Egypt is afraid of Moses. They stand in awe because he lifts his rod up, and I mean everything bad happens because of Moses. Now watch what happens. It's come. Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in the entire land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it or threw it up toward heaven, and it became boils breaking forth with blains upon all men and upon all beasts. And the magicians that were trying to duplicate all this stuff, or again, magicians here, just the advisors, the wise men of the world. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart. Now, again, these were the same magicians, according to the Talmud, and the same Pharaoh who had what? Who had declared that Moses couldn't, they had to kill the kids. They had to kill the babies. So the whole thing is now in a reverse. Or they were either the magicians or their direct descendants. But he took, it says, this one is just eerie. The ashes became man and beast. They were from the furnace where the human sacrifice was burned. There's nothing that the Egyptians, if they had plastic surgeons, then everybody would have. I mean, they exalted health. They exalted. That's why most of them, you see the Egyptian pictographs or whatever they are, and they're bald. The Egyptian men are bald, and they wear these false, because gray hair was an anathema. And so they removed anything that would cause them to look like they were aging. Harry would have been popular there. And well, Sonny would have been Pharaoh. Anyhow, but this, the idea then that many of the rabbis say that what happened was it was a huge miracle because he threw this handful of ashes in the air and it spread on all of Egypt. And the ashes were essentially caused leprosy in their understanding. So so everybody in Egypt was affected with leprosy.
There's some strange relationship between the symbolism of this and the symbolism of the communion bread.
Yeah, but we're not going to go through that today. We'll never get done. All right. The furnace becomes critical. Throughout the scriptures now, Egypt from then on is called the iron furnace. The iron furnace. The iron furnace. In which, symbolically, the only thing that happens in Egypt or in the world is what? Is human sacrifice. Because you're sacrificing yourself to something that you made up in your mind. To give you purpose. Now, all of these things are what led up to the Passover. So we've celebrated the Passover now. This will be our 27th or 28th year, 27th year. But some of you have just eaten an egg or something. Passover can only be celebrated when the effects of the plagues have hit you. So you're born in the world. The plagues, if you're lucky, are quick, but for most of you, they last your whole life and you don't know that they're over until you die. Then the plagues are to drive you out of the world. Egypt is an eternal type of the world in the Bible. You're driven out of the world by the plagues. you cross the Red Sea in baptism, which is symbolic of your death, because God never deals with you as an individual after that. If you look and watch, and then you go and wander in the wilderness until you're shed of the grave clothes of religion and the grave clothes of Egypt, until finally you're able to enter the Promised Land. And that's the eternal trek that all men are on. That's why the scriptures are clear. If you dwell on the earth, then you're subject, but we dwell on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem. So the plagues have to have their purpose. If they don't, then just pray for God's long suffering. That's enough. Anybody have any thoughts, any questions? I was hurting so bad that I can't get things out clearly. So
the plagues, I was thinking, make you want to leave Egypt rather than try and do this God thing
in Egypt
and mix it all together and come to some terms or make a deal with yourself or something. You have to just discard Egypt.
And the plagues are not, if you remember, again, let me repeat it. There are 10 plagues in the book of Exodus. 3 of the plagues went on both Israel and Egypt. 7 of the plagues go on Egypt. He moved to the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is what oversits all time. It's always true. And the book of Revelation are the last 7 plagues. The 7 angels with the 7 vials with the 7 plagues. And every word in that scripture, in this scripture, in the entire book, is to cause you to see the futility of your own ideas, the futility of any human effort, until you can finally bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And repentance doesn't mean to say, I'm sorry. Repentance means to leave you behind. So the celebration of Passover is a celebration of your exodus from the world. And if you haven't left it yet, you've got about another 10 days. Does anybody understand?
But you said that leaving the world is a continual process. It's not just...
It's only continual because of our rebellion. It's instantaneous, if we could see. But our idols have blinded us.
Driven out of Egypt. It's like they didn't really go voluntarily. They were driven out. Then they get in the wilderness and they don't like it.
They want to go back to Egypt.
God has to move on.
But the scripture, the New Testament is clear. It says all these things happened to Israel for an example to you. But unfortunately, the Christian church has cut itself off from all this.
The real comfort is knowing, understanding what it is that's going on and who's doing it.
Right.
If that's the case, there's nothing to worry about.
Go to Isaiah 1 real quick. Well, we've got one more thing to do. The boils that caused you to see yourself correctly. That's something that I would pray that you would do. Pray to God and ask Him to show you yourself in His eyes. And here's the answer.
It reminds me of the first time I ever spoke honestly with you. When I just kind of lost it and told you, how everything was falling apart and how it was horrible and I was going to go eat worms and die. And you just smiled and almost started laughing and said, great, that's exactly what's supposed to happen. It was a great comfort.
Isaiah 1. Talks about all this.
Yeah, verse 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more, for the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, etc., etc. That's the picture, if you could see correctly, of you. And every single effort in your mind is to try to avoid that. You try because you're hardwired because of the curse for trying self-realization of you becoming something, or you being something. And yet Christ declares and screams from eternity, by one offering you have been perfected forever. Why do you gad about to change yourself? Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what every word in this Bible is about. We delude ourselves in a thousand ways. Anybody have any expansions? Anybody understand?
This idea of furnace being, all humans are sacrificing their lives, it seems so clear.
You know, the furnace is everywhere. It's in Kings. In fact, it says, I couldn't find it, but know you not that the world is on fire? Stop and look around. Watch. Look at rust. Look at aging. Look at fire. Look at entropy. Nothing in and of itself can produce anything greater than itself. Everything is decreasing in entropy. And that's what fire is oxidation. The whole world is on fire, and we don't see it because we have slowed time down so we see what we want to see.
And then you see that image of the three young men in the hottest furnace there ever was.
Right.
Protected.
Yeah, I mean we're not about the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're in it so that it can all of the chaff can be taken and thrown away from the wheat, so the real you can be manifested. But you've spent an entire lifetime trying to better yourself, trying to fix yourself, trying to get educated. Whatever it is. That's fine. But if you think there's any life in any of that, you're a fool. So this is what the celebration of Passover is about. We've got 6 more plagues. They're increasing in intensity. Any thoughts, cuz? It's worse, much worse than a brush fire.
But there's so many means.
It's all on fire.
And getting worse.
It's because time is coming to an end. The dawning of the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is one of the weirdest. Normally, you can if you look at the, and again, I'm talking about the original meaning of astrology. I'm not talking about all this crap that's done today. The original meaning of astrology showed you the mystery of the universe, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And each of the signs were distinct in terms of where they started and where they began, except the age of Aquarius isn't. It's like because it's the water flowing out, and it sort of mixes with the Pisces next to it. And so, have you ever thought about when Jesus said he's going to make you fishers of men?
Yes.
You know, I know you have. But fishers of fish, when you fish, the fish don't stay alive.
Yeah.
He makes you fishers of men so the husk, the death of the husk can be real and you can see who you contain. And that it's over, it's finished. He's waiting for you to be at rest, at peace. He's never going to give you peace. He is peace. He's never going to show you the way. He is the way. He's never going to give you life because he is life. I pray you hear this. I get tired of talking about this. I'm going to stop talking.
When you were talking about the $25,000 day, the 25,000-year day, solar day, or
universal day.
Universal day, and the fact that it's this, the North Star completes a circle, and that's what has dominion over all this, and that's Satan's star.
Yeah, the North Star, it isn't. There's six or seven stars that are in that circle. And then the polar star where we're pointing right now is just the one for this age. But it's slowly going around, and the age of the day is 25,000 years. That's why there are 12 signs, because it broke it up the day into that. Anyway.
This is the first time I've heard you wrap up with, does anybody understand, instead of, does everybody understand? I think that must mean something.
Means I'm hurting really bad.
Does anybody understand perfectly?
Anybody know what time it is?
But I pray that you, I mean, if you don't believe this, I don't care whether you believe it or not. I don't care whether you, I don't want you to believe me anyway. But search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. But search them honestly, not trying to find your face in the scripture. I promise you, your name isn't in the Bible. And if you can come away with an honest reading of this scripture, when you take the blinders off and you see that your name isn't in there, that this isn't the manufacturer's handbook, and you will see. I don't want anyone to believe me. I want you to test it to see whether it's true, but test it with some integrity. Look honestly at your life. Look honestly how you have invented yourself. I went over again. Take it, big guy.